Greetings. Welcome to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Michael. Today on our show, we delve into the life of St. Cecilia, who is a virgin martyr in the early church, but the patron saint of musicians and organists. We here at St. Dominic's have had the great fortune and benefaction of getting a new organ. Well, it's an older organ, but donated to us, a lovely instrument for leading worship. And so Father Isaiah and I delve into the power that music has played in terms of worship, our own experience here at St. Dominic's, and some of the legends and stories that have shaped Catholic culture around the Feast of St. Cecilia. So whether you're on the go or taking it slow, many, many blessings as you enjoy today's show.
Greetings and welcome back to St. Dominic's Weekly. This is Father Isaiah. That's Father Michael.
You know, we usually just turn record on.
Yeah.
We get a topic rolling, and then we just have a lot of fun. But you came into the office, and I don't know, it's maybe because we haven't checked in today yet. Yeah. We just automatically started doing story time, and we had about 30 minutes of the cutting floor that the public will never hear.
Yeah.
I just said,
I don't know what we were thinking.
I think
we were just talking.
we were just having a great time. And then all of a sudden I said, why am we not recording?
Well, the thing is, what's funny is that we actually are like geared up right now. And,
yeah.
You know, like complete with headphones and all that stuff. I mean, we just didn't press record.
Next time, usually it's one of those things where I hit record, and even if we don't use it, they're like one thing that'll never see the light of day is our Billy Joel riffing.
Our Billy Joel riffing, our Golden State Warriors commentary on the games, our Giants game commentary.
Between sports and entertainment and our movie reviews that never... That's I have a bunch of them recorded, but they're not necessarily like... podcast materials. Well, maybe. I don't know.
That way. Passable, but I don't know if it's edification for the people of God.
I don't know if people really care about our take on...
what we think about the latest Mandalorian episode.
There you go. Anyway, we were talking about preaching, and this coming Friday, is the Feast of St. Cecilia, yeah, who is the patron saint of musicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we're talking about maybe that's a good topic to cover, because... as Dominicans, certainly we're the order of preachers, but the idea that preaching is simply a verbal kind of witness or proclamation is certainly true, but there's a way in which beauty preaches as well.
I mean, for Dominicans, I mean, to say it's only verbal is to say it's kind of incomplete. It's rather the way of life, right?
That's so, right, yeah. The holy preaching. And so we began talking about different preaching moments, especially equated with beauty. So maybe we should just do the rundown of the life of St. Cecilia and her contribution to the church. So St. Cecilia, what do we know?
Well, St. Cecilia, she's one of the early martyrs of the church. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we would hear the Roman canon, the Eucharistic prayer, one of the more solemn Eucharistic prayer, we would hear her name invoked all the time.
But there's
this kind of motif, this leitmotif, as it were, of the Virgin Martyrs who would they would be from rich Roman families from the aristocracy. They would their parents would marry them off to a Roman official, and then there'd be some kind of resistance because the Roman martyr, the Virgin would. She would have her life consecrated to Christ, and there'd be kind of a, let's say, familial tension because of that. and eventually the young woman would martyr for her faith. However, the variation on the theme here is that Cecilia, she went into prayer all the way through her wedding day, and as the story goes, her prayers sang praises of God, and her husband, after she was told that she had consecrated herself to Christ, he was like, okay, I'll go with you on that. So he himself eventually was baptized.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is one of those virgin martyrs. So as you say, this is before the church, of course, is officially promulgated as official religion.
Before
of the state,
Constantine.
Before Constantine.
Yeah.
So we're talking about 200s?
I think so.
More or less? Okay, early church, and late 100s, early 200s, a whole swath of virgin martyrs. And maybe go back to she's the patron saint of musicians, especially organ music.
Especially organ music,
because she was kind of, sang a song to God in her heart during her wedding day, and that was recorded as being how she connected with our Lord's prayer through song, mm-hmm. which always brings to mind the great quote of Saint Augustine that I think many are familiar with, especially musicians. They say, yeah, "He who sings prays twice." Right, you know. And that's often quoted, but it's often misquoted.
Or misunderstood.
Misunderstood.
Maybe,
yeah. Well, yeah. Because the quote isn't "he who sings prays twice."
Oh, okay. So what's the true quote then?
The true quote is "he who sings bene, he who sings well sings twice."
Ah, okay.
"He who sings poorly prays half." No, I just made that second part up. But it's implied. It's implied. No, so whenever people bring up the fact that, oh, you just, as long as you're singing, you're praying twice, that's not true. I'll put it this way. It's not what St. Augustine said. St. Augustine says you have to pray well to pray
right,
twice.
Yeah,
and so
exactly,
there's a kind of skill. So I'll mention that to musicians or to folks who say making any kind of sound is appropriate. No, yeah, there has to be a little bit of skill. There has to be a little art. It's not just any kind of joyful noise.
Right. It has to be more joyful than noise, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's how you integrate. So he sings prays twice is the actual quote. But Cecilia then known for even not, there's no indications that she herself was a musician, she had the song in her heart, and that's what
exactly,
at least her biographer relates to us. Mm-hmm. And so she became connected with music from very early on. And I love that story too of how she, not all the Virgin Martyrs necessarily are witnesses until after their death. In other words, their deaths are so powerful. And in fact, frankly, this is one of the reasons why Rome ends up being converted in terms of the idea that Christianity is not a threat to society, because so many young women become part of the faith and follow Christ, and then there's a persecution.
Right.
And then there's kind of a backlash where people say, why are we killing all these young female teenagers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, this is not the way to,
right.
to act as a society. And it's almost like a little bit of a kind of a shame.
Yeah, exactly.
A moment of shame for the culture. And that's where ideas and minds begin to open up to the possibility of Christianity not being a kind of cult, but actually something that, you know, is kind of goes mainstream, but it's through the witness of the martyrs. But but she herself, as at least one of the stories, is that she lets her husband know that she's vowed herself to Christ, and if he was smart, he would honor that because she has an angel, a guardian angel, that's willing to fight for her.
She kind of threatened him.
And so he called, it's a funny kid, the story is great because he doesn't like believe her or not believe, or he doesn't. Yeah. He errs on the side.
On his own.
He's prudent, and he says, okay, I don't disbelieve you, but you're going to have to somehow give me some sign that this is true.
Yeah.
Basically, if this angel is real, give me some sign of that, or let me see the angel. And so then she goes,
like, take a hike for 3 miles on the Appian Way and come back and he'll show up.
Exactly. Basically, she says, you're not going to be able to see him unless you yourself are baptized. And so,
take a hike, buddy, and get washed.
And so, he says, okay, I guess he's got nothing to lose if he goes with what he's saying. So he is baptized by the Pope, as the legend or story goes. It hikes, like you say, goes out to the third milestone of the Appian Way there, is baptized by the Pope. And when he, indeed, after he's baptized, he's able to see that angel that she mentioned to him. And then she, along with he and another one member of the family, I think
his brother.
His brother, his brother, who is his kind of, was baptized along with him, end up all dying for the faith.
So,
beheaded. So it's kind of a powerful story and really took off legs. And like many of the early Virgin Martyrs, there's lots of different traditions, fables, and legends around it. But the core, and every time this happens, or every time you have such ancient attestation, you have people who are like, it's not historical, it's not real, let's take it off the calendar. The fact is, we do have obviously historical records that there's a woman named Cecilia, a young teenage girl who dies for the faith, where she's buried, where we have her remains. And so I guess my thought on all these is, even if the particulars of any story or legend aren't, you know, altogether exactly in it, their mm-hmm. full flourish, the kernel remains true because, yeah. in a sense, there has to be something connected to it, or else yeah. people wouldn't have been, if yeah. you will, kind of enlightened by that. And
right.
people don't change their lives based on a fable. I mean, we right. we love. We were just talking about, you know, the epic stories of our days. You know, the, you know, Marvel series or mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. DC comics or superheroes
yeah.
and things.
Yeah.
And those are fun stories and those are legends. We all know they're myths and they're things.
Yeah.
No one and we might be sucked into them, and even Lord of the Rings and things like that.
Right.
It might be entertainment, but no one is willing to die for
yeah.
Lord of the
to
Rings.
Say there's that no martyrs. Aragorn is no, true king. Yeah.
There's no martyrs for Tolkien, right?
Right. Right.
For
yeah.
C.S. Lewis,
yeah.
or
yeah.
even the most noble
yeah.
of yeah. fiction makers.
Yeah.
Those are fun, entertaining, even you know, kind of culturally transformative kinds of mm-hmm. things in terms of ideas. But no one dies for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so the witness of the martyrs give us, if you will, yeah. A kind of story that has to have that kind of reality to it, mm-hmm. because it doesn't explain otherwise that willingness to give their life.
Yeah, and exactly right. Like now, I mean, you were mentioning that we have Cecilia's martyrs and what's real, her remains, but what's fascinating is that she's the first incorruptible as well.
Oh, really?
Well, the first incorruptible that we've discovered anyway.
Oh.
But so when she was exhumed in the 1500s, they found that her body was incorrupt. So, but also that her very tomb is very kind of unusual about how she died. Like you would look at her marble sarcophagus and you would see this young woman and she's kind of, her head is twisted around and all that such. And it parallels that part of the story, let's say, mm-hmm. of the very fact that that they eventually had to decapitate her, and the poor executioner, or if had to hit her neck three times in order for her to
die. Oh, it wasn't
die.
A clean.
Yeah, it wasn't a clean hit.
A clean beheading. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I mean,
it took her several days to die.
It took her 3 days to die. So very gruesome. But and this is kind of recounted in the very sarcophagus itself. So, but again, it goes to that point of like, what are we? This can't be a myth because we don't die for myths, but we die for the great story that Jesus gives us, right?
Yeah, it's another saint who visits her, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Agatha?
Probably, yeah. Many of the Virgin Martyrs are kind of interconnected. Their stories are interconnected.
Yeah, I want to say that Agatha is someone who comes after Cecilia mm-hmm. and is inspired by her. And actually goes to pray at her tomb, because they're both from Sicily, is that
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And so she kind of goes and prays at her tomb, and I think her mother or someone else is healed as well. So anyway, there's these connections in between Agnes
mm-hmm.
and we got Agnes, Agatha, Cecilia,
Lucy, yeah.
Anastasia.
It's Anastasia, yeah.
And all your saints. And all those standing mm-hmm. around. Yeah, in the Latin canon. Yeah, so you've got all those virgin martyrs that in different ways are interconnected. And frankly, we've got... have you been to Vine of the Trappist?
Mm-hmm,
They have their little chapel that's off of their guest house.
The newest building on the campus,
yeah.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not newer than they built a chapter house out of the Getty
Stones. Oh, is that what it is?
Okay. Castle
yeah.
stones
yeah.
At Golden Gate Park.
Oh, okay.
So that's their chapter house. But where the public, even religious, will stay
mm-hmm.
in there. There's a little chapel where the koi are. Do you know where there's that,
oh, yeah.
that little that's garden? Right. So there's like a little cloister area even within like their little welcome center. And
that's right.
And then there's a little chapel, and they have the full-length replica of the sarcophagus of Cecilia.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You're right.
So,
yeah.
Usually when there's a silent retreat, and so many hours in that little chapel, it's a Eucharistic chapel with the Blessed Sacrament
yeah.
there,
mm-hmm.
and it's dedicated to Cecilia.
That's right. I forgot about
that.
So
yeah, that. It's a really special place. Right now, have you been to Rome to see where she's buried?
I've don't believe I've been to Trastevere, actually, where her body is, but
okay. Yeah, neither have I. So
okay.
I just wanted, yeah. But my connection to that was going up the on the Highway 5 there in Vina with the Trappist, and they have, like I said, a replica of that connected to that. And then, of course, the Trappist, very simple plain chant, and a number of the Dominican tones we have here based on some of their tones. So that, once again, that full circle around for music. Mm-hmm. And here at our parish, we have a new organ in process.
Right, yes.
So, well, an old new organ.
New to the church.
Yeah, new to the church. So a donation to the church that employs both pipes and electronical kind of device, and hopefully to make a bolder, bigger, more beautiful leading of worship for us here at St. Dominic's. And so on this Feast of St. Cecilia, we give thanks for certainly those who helped to make installing this new piece of musical accompaniment possible for us, and give thanks to St. Cecilia that we have such beautiful, beautiful liturgy. I know the Archbishop is always very keen when he comes to celebrate Mass with us, that, to say that we have one of the most beautiful liturgies. Not that you're comparing, but it's interesting that I was the last time, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but we had an event where we had Father Paul Murray.
Right. I was just thinking about this.
Yeah. And so he's beautiful poetry reading and some of his own selections, and talking about St. Francis and the idea, the story of the connection with animals and creation. And the Archbishop was there. And so we were chatting before and after the event. And as we walked through the church, I was giving him a little kind of mini impromptu tour of different places, and he was struck by many of the different side altars we have, and thought that for instance, our Holy Name altar was unique. He said he's never seen a Holy Name altar carved the way that ours is carved, and might be unique in the world, in fact. So he was really edified by that. St. Joseph, the altar to St. Joseph behind the Ombre that we currently have. And then I, of course, with a flourish, says, well, you know, of course, St. Thomas are one of those beautiful churches, in the city.
Yes.
And I said, well, as long as we're making the city, you might as well, on all of the West Coast, not all of the United States. And he says, well, I don't know about that. But he did say, you have by far one of the most beautiful choirs and music making in anywhere he's ever been.
Yeah, so, and that's
and that
huge.
Was that was really a beautiful compliment, really beautiful, and a testament to Simon Barry and to all those who make our music and our liturgy really literally sing.
So
on this Feast of St. Cecilia, we give thanks for the ways in which beauty, that we have the resource of beauty in our church, is particularly in our physical edifice, but then all those who make beautiful music possible for us.
Yeah. So on this, as we celebrate Cecilia this coming Friday, help us out on the podcast. You know what to do. Rate us on iTunes and tell other people about us. Comment when we put it online on the social media and all that other great stuff.
So may all that we do on this wonderful week as we anticipate the feast of St. Cecilia, patron saint of music, truly radiate the beauty and the joy of the gospel here in the heart of the city. Amen.
Amen.